This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Trash View and Nada Vista, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Anybody? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yes. We are here feeling it all the way
Feel it, baby.
Wherever you are in
Pod Bay 2A. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And I got my flag.
Yeah, you got a BIPCOT flag. And there's tonight's show notes are going to be a picture of you peeking up below the flag with your little eyes and hair going, boo, hello. It's a great picture.
I put the flag on the floor and like stepped all over it a little bit first, and then I laid down on it.
See, you can do that. With the BIPCOT flag, you can accidentally or intentionally step on it. Nobody's going to say, my flag. I fought for your rights to step on that flag, so I'm going to kill you.
I see that's becoming a trend already. I was wondering if people were just doing that just because they can. Or
there was a really cool coffee klatch picture.
Yes, that was the one I was referring to.
Like six people in a circle. I love that. With their Starbucks and Fiends buttons on the flag, and their sandals and sneakers on the flag, and
their nasty bare feet.
Yeah, yep.
Hey, it's your property. Treat it as such.
Perhaps someone will
family
will drag a BIPCOT flag behind an RV through Porkfest.
Yeah, Stop Free Keen could do that. That'd be funny. I'd be like, Free Keen. I've never even been to Keen, man. Don't include me in that stuff.
Yeah. I have. I've been to Keene.
Yeah? You've been to Keene? Yeah. Was it Keene?
I've been to Keene.
I call it Feene, New Hampshire. F-E-E-N-E, New Hamster.
It's a very beautiful place.
It's a nice little town.
It's a
college town.
It's a very cute little town. I've been to where Ian records, or like where Ian does a show. And I actually sat through a show. This has been a couple of years ago when I went up there for Liberty Forum. Yeah.
So I do know that Keene's, from talking to Mark Edge, who's actually going to be on The Fiends tomorrow night.
Yay!
He's going to be a fiend for a day. It's going to be cool. Talking to him, I learned that, and he doesn't live in Keene. He lives out in the woods in a pig farm. But he said that Keene, like he told me what Keene's property taxes are. They're three times, percentage-wise, they're three times what my property taxes are in Casper, Wyoming.
They're high. Man. They're very high up there, yeah.
I think they make up for not having sales taxes and income tax, though.
I don't have those either. Well, no, we have sales tax, but I don't have income tax.
Well, yeah, that's how they do it. They have to make it up somewhere.
Well, Wyoming used to be one of the like cheapest places to live as far as government shakedowns because the government shakes down the oil industry and the uranium industry and now the wind farm industry. You know, it's one of the, like, you know how in Alaska the government gives you $1,000 a year just to live there for the oil companies? It's kind of like that, but it's just like taxes are pretty low here. But the oil industry is kind of collapsing over the past 6 months or so because globally the price of oil has gone way down. And it's definitely affecting. Like, we went to buy this fridge at Sears the other day. We were, like, the only people in there. We went, they open it, like, you know, I mean, they open at 10 on Saturday morning. I hear you breathing, Randy. Stop breathing. They open at, like, 10 on Saturday morning. And we went
Wait
in at, like, 10,
minute.
10:30 on Saturday morning.
It might have been me. You know,
but it's like there was nobody in there, man. It was like,
well, know, okay, I'm gonna breathe again. I'm sorry.
You punk. Told what to do.
Did you get the fridge?
Yeah. Well, it's delivered Tuesday. Tomorrow's Monday. It's we bought it, and yeah, man, it's a beauty. And thank you, everyone, including you three who chipped in on it, and everyone who chipped in on it, and. Our family's even chipped in a little on it. I sold one of my best microphones to Mark Edge for $350 and just scraped together every penny we could and, like, you know, financed the last $125. And we spent a lot on it, man. I don't even want to say. You can look at the sticker price in one of those pictures, though.
It's a beauty. It's a beauty for sure. It is. I'm super peanut butter and jelly.
It's definitely nicer than the one that I purchased for myself a couple of years ago, and I was all happy with myself. I was like, oh, look at this nice fridge. And then I saw your pictures, and I was like, oh, darn.
Was it like a dorm room fridge, Jeremy?
No. I have a house, you know.
This fridge was like,
I'm like a grown-up sometimes.
I don't even want to say that because I cyber-begged for it, but it was like $1,800 out the door with, you know, two-year extended warranty and installation and hauling away the old fridge. But, you know, it's, I don't know, I stand by that. And we chipped in a lot of it, too, so... And we had to finance the last $125 of it.
Yeah, but even still, that's one of those things that if you get a good one, it'll last you 10 plus years, and then it's worth the investment. 20. The bigger and fancier they get, I have a feeling the less time they're going to last.
This one has computers in it, man. I think exactly. This one like tells the Obamacares if you have too many like saturated fats in your fridge, and then raises your health insurance premium for the next month or something. It's too smart for a fridge, really.
Oh yeah, man.
Is it connected to the internet?
No, it doesn't. But it's smart.
Is there a web page I can go to see what's in it?
If you can go to hack my fridge, it's going to be in the Fiends app. You're going to be able to turn up or down the temperature of the Dean's fridge.
Dean fridge.
#WD fridge.
I think it would be a very popular, perhaps an attraction. If you could see what's in your, if every one of us could see what's in your fridge.
Webcam in my fridge.
I think that's a really good idea. I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
That's doable.
That'll be on the next update for the Fiend app, right?
Along with pictures of your sister with a Bipcot flag.
Yes.
That sounds so wrong.
I know it does. She hasn't come to town yet. I haven't had the opportunity.
Wearing only a Bipcot flag.
Man, that.
You know what? I actually started to do that. I was actually going to do that myself. I actually had the flag wrapped around myself, but I could not get a good angle to show the flag, even in a mirror or anything. So I decided to do what I did.
Well,
sorry, guys.
And stand behind it.
There you go. The last scene of the movie Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom is that girl that's the blonde that's in the movie, the gun girl that's throughout the movie, holding up a "Don't Tread on Me" flag, like a cape behind her, and then wrapping it around herself. In semi-slow motion.
Yeah.
We'd have better flags if we redid that movie now. I should redo that movie. I kind of did. I did the anarchist cut of it. Like, I was a minarchist when we were finishing making that film. Actually, like, when we started making it. But by the time we finished it, I was pretty much an anarchist. And then I showed it at Porkfest, like, 4 years, 3 years later, 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And I sat there and watched with a bunch of people, including my friend John Vibes. I like John Vibes. Shout out to John Vibes. He's a good guy. He gave me his book while I was there. So John Vibes and about 30 other people at that outdoor, what they call the Brad Spangler Memorial Playground at Porkfest.
Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, James
not
Benham
really.
because they were calling it last year, right after it happened. So I guess not.
Oh, my God.
I'm having all the Fiends record liners for. I'm going to start. We're going to start now that we're almost done with playing all 50 of the top 50 bad Quaker episodes on the Weekend Fiends. We're going to start playing occasionally Nick Hazelton's Anarcho-Yakalism podcast and Professor CJ's.
It's hard to say.
Professor CJ's Dangerous History podcast, and I had everybody record some, and they've been trickling in over the past few days, and I got James Babb's ones tonight, and one of them is him saying, well, here, maybe I should just play it. It's pretty funny. I think I will. Yeah. So do you guys ever watch this show called Moral Oral? Do you know what that is?
No.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it though.
It's a show that's on Comedy Central. That's or Cartoon Network. It's like it's a stop action claymation takeoff on what was that show in the 70s? The religious show. What?
Oh.
It wasn't Gumby, but it was
Gumby. Claymation.
It was the other claymation one. It was the one about the Christian kid with all the moral lessons in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember what it was called. Yeah.
Oh, it's gonna drive me nuts because I just saw a meme about it recently. What was their names?
Yeah. What was that called? Moral Oral.
Well, I'll look it up.
There, yeah, interwebs. There we go.
Oh, Davy and Goliath.
There you go.
Oh, that's right.
Davy was the kid. Goliath was the dog.
Aww.
And so Moral Oreo is kind of like a cross between that and like South Park. It's like more. It's like Davy and Goliath, but wrong. Like he goes to church and learns the wrong lesson. Like one of the lessons is like the preacher is talking about, and it's really like Protestant and WASPy, and he lives in State Soda, which is shown to be in the exact center of America.
State Soda.
And he lives in Morrilton, which is his town in the middle of State Soda. And his church is in the middle of Morrilton. Like it shows like God's eye view of it coming in. He lives in the middle of America. That's where his church is. So you know, like there'll be like a lesson like, well, you know, shame is good for you because it helps you know what you've done wrong. And Moral's like, well, I haven't really had any shame. Maybe if I break all 10 commandments. And he goes through all, like, he does 9 of them, but he can't bring himself to kill somebody. And but he ends up killing some woman who's on life support, some old lady who wants to be killed. So, yeah, it's long. But this is kind of funny what is our new system, TV system. It's a Dish Network through AT&T. We got it with our phones. It's ratings. What?
I was just going to say, is it Dish or DirecTV that you can use Bitcoin to pay for?
Sorry.
Okay. One of those you can use Bitcoin to pay for it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's
good
Dish, actually.
Good to know.
I think it's Dish.
Well, this is DirecTV. So they have the weirdest rating system I've ever seen. Like, you know, usually they'll say like, you know, not suitable for people under 15. But some of the shows I like on there, they say like iffy for people over 15.
They
say for more Laurel. Like if you're
iffy,
mature, you won't like this show. It says iffy for over 15. And I love this show.
That.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Let me find this James Babb liner.
I'll have to see if I can track some of those down.
Podcast?
Okay, here it is. Let me start this over. It's so wrong, man. This one for Nick. It's funny.
Let me play it right now.
Is Nick old enough to consent to a podcast? That's none of my business. It's a classic anarcho-yakitalism podcast episode on the Freedom Fiends. Is Nick old enough to consent to a podcast? That's none of my business. It's a classic anarcho-yakitalism podcast episode on the Freedom Fiends.
I love it. Oh, my God.
That alone could get him kicked out of the Free State.
Yeah.
Kicked out of
who, Nick or James?
James.
Yeah.
He said he didn't care if Nick was old or not.
Yeah, well, he said it was none of his business.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. Meow. It's the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the corner of Trashview and Nata Vista in the Alpha Centauri region.
I forgot to say from the corner of.
Yeah, and you also forgot to say a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. It should be a mile above Intergalactic Prairie Studio on the corner of Trashview and Nata Vista in the Alpha Centauri region. So a health update.
Feel
a little better.
Diana.
I feel a little better for several reasons. I hate to say it. It sounds so trendy. I've gone gluten-free for like 4 or 5 days. I'm actually coughing less. And you know, I mean, Jim Jesus is going to say it's placebo. And placebo. I'm gonna fire him. So, no, but here's the thing. Like, maybe it's not the gluten. Maybe it's just bread is like logy. You know, it's just always made me logy. So,
made you what?
Yeah. Logy.
Logy.
You know, where food makes you like stupid and heavy feeling.
Like a food. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I've ever heard that term before.
Logy.
It makes me heavy logy. Feeling. I get that part.
Yeah. So I stopped that and. Then what else? I also cut way down on milk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's debate whether milk causes mucus or not. Milk does not cause you to have more mucus, but it causes your mucus to be thicker, which is really bad for someone like me with really bad asthma because I have a lot of mucus in my lungs all the time anyway. And if it's thicker, it's harder to breathe and I choke more. So the other thing I've done is I went down on my prednisone dose again. I've been talking about this for months now. I've been on it for a year and I was on 30 milligrams. And I slowly, over 4 months' time, went down to 15 milligrams a day. And now I'm down to 12.5 milligrams a day. And I went down yesterday, and I pretty much just, like, slept 12 hours today. And
nice.
Four different naps. It wasn't that nice. I mean, I know people who don't have that luxury to hear it, and they're like, oh, I wish I could do that. I mean, yeah, it was nice, but it was like I would have rather been up hanging out with my wife on a Sunday. But, you know, it just I'd rather be asleep than like awake twitching, which is kind of how I am when I go down on prednisone. I twitch and don't feel good for a week.
Who was this prednisone person you're going down on? I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have said that. Wow. I'm in the pregnant zone. Are you in the pregnant zone, Diana?
Let's hope not.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I got. The Bipstrong bracelets are out. Did you guys get one? Do you have one?
Yeah, I got one. Yeah. Yes. They're cool. Right. Actually, I think mine would fit around my ankle.
Yeah, I've heard that each one will protect you from at least 10 gunshots. And then you have to get a new one.
Oh, kind of like a Wonder Woman bracelet. There
you go. Yeah, it's like the Wonder Woman bracelet that cures cancer and keeps the state away and really doesn't do any of that. But you can order them from Jim Jesus. Go to lolberts.com, LOLBERTS.com. That's one of the sister shows, The Freedom Fiends, with Sister Jim Jesus.
Sister Jim.
He likes Reverend. I'm going to call him Sister Jim. Did you guys see the picture of him with his cat, Kitty Wopolis, and his Bipcot flag and his Bipcot face mask and his Bipstrong bracelet? He looked insane. It was awesome.
Yes. It was good. It was really good.
He did look insane. Now, when it protects you from up to 10 bullets, are those only governmental bullets or are those be any?
No, any bullets.
Oh.
Although none of the claims that are made of it are accurate. But yes, one of the claims is
each in a small print.
Okay. Will protect you against 10 bullets.
The commercial he did for it is hysterical.
He does great commercials. You know, I built Jim. No, I didn't really build Jim, but I got to say this. When I met Jim, he was doing exactly what he's doing now, which is making really funny media and stuff. But his audio was horrible. And I got him to buy the Fiend's mic way before he was a Fiend. And he bought it. Like, overnight, he went from sounding like he was on Talk Shoe to sounding like a professional. And it was pretty cool. I'm pleased. I built that. I'm pleased.
Have you played his commercial on Fiends yet?
No. I think we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. Are we past the deadline? We are, right? It's okay.
Yeah. For what? It's public now.
They went public on April 1st.
Yeah.
There April we go. Fool's okay.
Day. Tired of dealing with governments? Wish there was a better way of not getting busted committing victimless crimes? Tired of having to listen to your parole officer? Never again with the Bipcot NoGov human license wristband. This wristband has a NoGov patented NoGov hologram technologies that work on your aura chakras to fungus sway vibration energy something something to move state agents off. It's like they can't even see you. The best part is it actually works.
It doesn't actually work.
It's so easy to use. Just pair up your wrist with 3 inches of your quantum sacred geometry spirit energy and commit all of the victimless crimes you want and totally get away with all of them. And with the fancy Lolberts Podcast logo on the side, you'll be the life of Porkfest. And all of this could be yours for $4.99 plus $2 shipping and handling. These things are not for that.
Okay, I can't play his disclaimer. It's got a cuss word in it. But it's so fast, I don't think you would hear it.
It's so that is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and the best thing about it now is that if Jim wants to use it with the laugh track that was just added to it, he can
there you
pick
go.
That from the podcast.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are funny.
I love how funny all of y'all are. Just make me laugh all the time. Yay.
Yeah.
Taxation is theft.
That's not funny.
No.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free and, of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends. Review it on Google Play and Amazon. Prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Of course.
Yep, it's Freedom Fiends, and I'm really digging these pictures that Susie Fisher is taking in Nepal. She's a fiend fan that wanted to carry a BIPCOT flag all over Nepal, but we couldn't get her one quick enough in time. So I sent her the artwork, and she just printed it out like on a 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and is just holding it up all over Nepal and taking pictures with amazing scenery in the background. And there's one, it's a video of her like directing anarchy traffic. There's like no traffic lights in Kathmandu, apparently. And it's, you know, people would say like without the government there'd be accidents everywhere, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Like people take their turns, you know, like, you know, 8 or 10 cars go by one way, 8 or 10, and then they stop, and 8 or 10 cars go by the other way, and people are riding bicycles with, you know, 10 cages of chickens on the back of the bicycles, and people are walking everywhere, and she's standing in the middle of the street like being a traffic pole with a BIPCOT flag. It's pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. And traffic is just flowing just around her, and nobody's running into anyone, and yeah, it's awesome. People are walking, riding bikes, riding scooters, driving cars. I mean, it's just it's utter chaos, but it works.
I hope this becomes a thing. Utter. People traveling while utter. BIPCOT. Traveling while BIPCOT.
We're back to the utter thing.
We were talking about raw milk during the break, and we're talking about cow sharing. Explain cow sharing.
Cow sharing. Well,
it's basically how you get around the raw milk laws. It's you purchase a share.
You buy stock in a cow.
You purchase a share of a cow, and so you essentially are part owner of that cow. So you're entitled to whatever it produces. Yeah. And
why buy the cow when you can not have the milk? Whoever made up that law had heard that saying. They wanted you to marry the cow, basically.
Yeah. But we were coming up with names that could be like good for like a cow sharing organization, like Utter Brothers or Utter Brothers.
Brothers from another Utter.
Brothers of one Utter.
There's a movie called Twin Brothers from Another Mother, isn't there?
I have no idea.
In the 70s?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Do you guys ever see any of the movies directed by Robert Downey Sr., Robert Downey Jr.'s father?
No. Well, what movies?
I don't know.
Yeah, the one I've seen is called Putney Swope, which is like black people take over America and hilarity ensues at the price of whitey. It's pretty funny. Back in the day. Yeah.
Didn't that sound
what year was that?
I don't know, like 74 probably. Oh, let's find out.
I'm not that old. I can't remember.
Yeah, you are. I was listening to Hollies today and thinking of you.
The Hollies?
Oh, it's 1969.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just a little bit before my time.
Did you say the Hollies, Michael?
Yeah. You know, Robert Downey Jr.'s first role
long, was when he cool was woman five. In a black dress.
Go huh? What? No, Robert Downey Jr., his first film role was when he was 5 years old playing a puppy in one of his dad's movies.
A puppy?
A puppy?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Front or the back?
No, just like he was a kid, but he was acting like
it's not a
puppy.
Horse. It's a puppy, right?
He wasn't wearing a puppy costume or anything.
Did he have like makeup, or he was just?
No, he's just.
Okay.
No, he's just like in a pound. He's a little kid in a cage, being a puppy. And the movie's called Pound, and it was made in 1970. Downey's born in, I don't know.
And there's no animals of any kind, just all humans.
No.
Okay.
And I assume you can find this on YouTube.
I don't know, man.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, maybe. It sounds good.
Yeah. Pound. Well, kind of quirky and avant-garde.
Speaking of quirky, kind of avant-garde, let's talk about our favorite show, Better Call Saul. You like that segue?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's beautiful.
Kind of quirky.
Right, Randy,
yes.
Take it.
Yes, it is. Take it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say one thing. Okay, you know the and spoiler alert. I'll just say that. So,
well, this was last week's episode. Yeah, it's
almost.
You know the
almost
law firm that's trying to poach Kim?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You know the main partner there, the guy who the kind of handsome 50-something guy with the manicured beard, that guy?
Rich, I think is his name. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Rich. Yeah, because she calls him her boss's name. By
Howard. She calls him Howard, yeah.
I'm rich. But I don't mind being confused with Howard. He's a handsome guy. No, that guy is in a lot of old Law and Orders playing an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I couldn't remember where I saw him before.
He's a character actor. He's been around for a while.
But he has long hair and a ponytail in Law and Order and kind of still has his baby fat. He's actually like more handsome now. He's good looking then, but he's got kind of a pudgy face, and now he's like looks like a
senior partner now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, men have that about them that they can get older and actually start look better.
Are you envious?
Than they did when they were young. Huh?
Am I pissed? This isn't right.
Keep talking. This is good stuff. Go ahead, Diana.
How long have you felt this way?
It's part of the patriarchy, and I'm against patriarchy.
It is.
So it's perception. It's not reality. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Yes. No. Yeah, a lot of men have that advantage. I will say.
Yeah, but he's in Law and Order. He's like. He's kind of a civil rights attorney. He's like really, really liberal and, you know, Pound is on. This Robert Downey Jr. thing is on YouTube.
Okay.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Watch that later.
Oh, he's so cute.
Aw. When I was a little girl, that I would make believe that I was a puppy. That was my favorite thing to do.
Well.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. So Better Call Saul. Tell me, Randy.
Well,
oh, totally,
are we 2 weeks behind?
You can tell this is Downey.
Saul.
If you look at this kid's face, he has the eyes already. All right, go on.
I saw last night. Yeah, well, it wasn't on last night. It comes on Monday night.
It was last night. It's tomorrow night.
I watched Vinyl tonight. You have seen Vinyl?
I've watched a couple of episodes of that. It's interesting. Yeah.
You should watch that, Randy. It's,
I haven't seen it.
It's about the music industry in the 70s.
That would be great.
There's a lot of coke in it, too.
What channel is it on?
Coke and hookers.
HBO. And
I don't have HBO.
And it's produced by Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger, yep.
Yeah.
And Scorsese,
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Better Call Saul. Are we 2 weeks behind?
No, we're a week behind.
Yeah.
Just a week behind?
Yeah.
So, well, Jimmy, was he still trying to quit his job when this last week?
He got himself fired last week. Yeah, he got himself fired.
By wearing the crazy
awesome
clothes and playing the bagpipes.
Yeah.
And the juicer.
He tried to quit. He tried to resign until his assistant said, "Yeah, you're going to lose your hiring bonus if you quit."
You know, and I said to DJ, like, you know, I guess I don't think I was a paralegal or what, or just an assistant. And I was like, how would that guy know what's in? And my wife is a paralegal, works in a law firm. And I was like, how would that guy know what's in Jimmy's contract? And without skipping a beat, she looks at me and she goes, he probably typed it.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
The paralegals often know a lot more of what's going on in those things.
You can't keep
a
secret in a law firm. It's like nurses know everything that happens in the doctor's office.
I was going to say, it's like any profession like that. It's usually
Randy doesn't have a paralegal. He doesn't want people having secrets on him.
But you know what I thought was...
Nobody has my secrets, no.
What I thought was really sweet, though, is that it seemed to me that Omar really cared... Or really cares about Jimmy,
Jimmy was the first cool thing. Jimmy was the first fun thing that's ever happened in that office. And Omar is kind of a fun Muslim. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the feeling he's Muslim. He's at least very conservative. He's like, I have to get back to my family. He must be Muslim. He's got a family.
Well, he refused to drink, too.
He must be Muslim.
Oh, my.
Jimmy offered him a drink, and he refused that as well. But he also refused the coconut water.
Cucumber water. He just wanted to get the heck out of there.
The cucumber water, not the coconut water.
I think he knew that Jimmy was so convincing, and if you spent 5 minutes with him, he'd end up working for him.
Well, that's a possibility. And
he'd end up being the assistant in that broom closet in the back of the nail salon.
With his the Coco Bolo desk Coco Bolo. Or whatever.
driving 40 miles to work every day. Yeah.
Yeah. How did he keep the Coco Bolo desk? Did they take
it
out of?
He bought it.
He
wrote a check for $7,000.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Out of his bonus. Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted that desk.
I think he wants Kim to sit behind it.
Oh.
Well, he wants to. At first, he wanted to be a partner with Kim, and then Kim offered, you know, gave it some thought, decided to, you know, refuse the offer to the other firm, and actually share an office with Jimmy, but just not be partners. And that's kind of where the end of the show left you. Is what's he going to do? What's he going to decide to do? So is he gonna be willing to share office with Kim without actually being her partner?
I don't know.
Inquiring minds want to know.
But I asked DJ. She said that there are law firms like that, like separate firms under the same roof.
Oh, sure.
My dad has one like that. So.
It's not actually a law firm. I have the same thing in my building. I have two other attorneys. Four attorneys in our building, and it's that same situation. There's some rent sharing going on. There's helping each other out when we need another attorney or somebody to bounce stuff off of.
You have a baseball team?
It's pretty cut. No, there's only four of us. Nine.
You have a softball team?
Nine.
You play poker? I don't know.
Does softball take fewer people? Is that right?
I don't know.
It can be seven.
I don't know. It can be seven. No, we don't have enough for that, which is good because I don't really want to join anything. I just, it's very handy.
Randy's not a joiner, y'all.
That's why he doesn't have a paralegal.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing here.
She'd know his secrets.
Yes. Now, I one thing that I, and you know, gave some thought to on Better Call Saul or was thinking about was how Mike was going to get out from under this...
Tuco.
Going to prison... You know, to get Tuco off the hook because he originally, you know, Tuco got caught with the gun and now Mike is being extorted to go in and say that it wasn't Tuco's gun.
And paid. He's getting one of those deals they call, I forget the Spanish word for it, but it means like silver or lead. Like we either pay you or we shoot you. Which do you want? That's what the cartels always do.
Yeah, and he got $50,000. But then he came in, talks to the district attorney, and just says he won't say anything. Well, he doesn't say anything at all. Saul comes in with him, and Saul does all the talking and just says, Mike.
Which is how it should be.
Mike will say, absolutely. Mike will say that it was not Tuco's gun. And that's all we're going to tell you. It's not Tuco's gun. You go to trial, that's what we'll say.
And Mike was a cop. Mike off. So Mike doesn't have that need to talk. He knows you don't talk to the police.
And it worked. Yep. And it might work in the real world, too.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
And we're adults who meow.
Yeah.
Meow. Meow.
I don't think I'm going to get a dog. I was talking about getting a dog, but...
You're off of that already?
I'm off that already. Dogs are just so much work, man. Cats just kind of sit there.
Yeah, dogs are a lot of work. They really are. Yeah. But there's a huge return.
Yeah. What about weasels?
Because they love you unconditionally.
Jeremy.
Well,
should you get a weasel?
No, because you need to get multiple weasels, and then you got to weasel proof your house and
weasel proof my house.
They can get into any
weasel proof my house. I don't know what that is.
Well, almost like worse than little kids. Anything they can fit their head into, they can get their entire body into.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing is bunnies, because they will chew every wire in your house.
Well, ferrets will do that too. But okay, weasels will do that too.
Yeah, dogs trash stuff too, though.
Usually they do that for the most part when they're puppies, and after that it's only if they're not, you know, exercised enough.
I'm pretty alpha though. I think the dogs would do my bidding.
Probably.
I am, but you know, I know I had a friend whose dog ran away, and it like dug a tunnel under her fence and ran away. And kept trying to do that, and her dog trainer said it was because she wasn't being enough of a pack leader. And I think I'd be enough of a pack leader for a dog, because I like to tell people what to do, tell things what to do. You know that.
You know. It's really not that difficult. I don't know if I would agree with. Well, I don't know that scenario, but I don't. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't automatically go to pack leader issue. It's more of a boredom problem that they dug out and dug their way out. Because usually digging is boredom or frustration from not getting enough exercise and/or attention.
Under the fence, though, it was a tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
To get out.
Ride off on a little motorcycle.
And a friend waiting on the other side with a helmet. In its hand, paw.
Not a helmet. Come on. No.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking about Better Call Saul, and we're wondering. If Tio Salamanca, Hector Salamanca, who is not yet in a stroke and in a wheelchair and can not on oxygen yet and can still talk in Better Call Saul, at least so far. We're wondering, because I've always thought that he probably had a stroke and that's why he ended up in a wheelchair. But now I'm thinking, now that I see him back in the day, I'm thinking maybe he did something that got him put in a wheelchair. Maybe Mike put him in a wheelchair. Because the last scene of the last episode was Mike stalking him. You know, watching from his car across the street at the restaurant that the gangsters take over and hang out at.
I think that's a pretty good possibility.
It could be
that Mike had something to do with that.
And when by the time you get to Breaking Bad, he's not only in the wheelchair, kind of stroked out or whatever, but he's really one. He's an angry guy.
Yeah,
more so than the character.
Him and his little bell.
Yeah. He's so mad well, all the time.
I think anybody would be in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm barely disabled compared to him. I'm an Olympic athlete compared to him, and I'm pretty sick, and I'm pretty angry. I've been sick for like 15 months, and it's making me mad and cranky. But so does the prednisone. It's, you know, it's got, I have roid rage, but not the roid muscles. These are the kind of roids that just build rage and fat, not muscles.
Aww.
Rage and fat. Boy, that's an attractive thing to have a lot of. Rage and fat. I've lost 9 pounds, though, in the past couple weeks, so.
Probably because you've been eating off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, increasing your dosage.
Off my weasel pills.
That was one of the spoilers for the end of last week's episode. The other one that where the show ended up and kind of left us hanging a little bit is that after, you know, Kim has refused to go and be partners with Jimmy because he won't promise to keep it on the level and that. And but then she comes to him and offers to do the office share. We were talking about this.
Yeah.
And they just left that one hanging also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They'd share expenses, you know, help each other out and that sort of thing, which is pretty common.
Yeah.
And she wants to know if Jimmy's willing to do it.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember right, did it hang there?
Yeah, it did hang there. It hung there. Yeah, but we'll find out tomorrow night. If we watch it tomorrow night, we'll find out tomorrow night. Yeah, tomorrow night, Monday night. I don't know. The look on his face was kind of like, you know, he didn't jump at it, which I found to be interesting, you know, because he loves her. He's crazy about her and wanted to be partners with her. But I don't know. It's like, does the whole idea of just being in a
he should do it. This is the goodest he's going to get. He should do it.
I don't know. Jimmy's like, he makes interesting decisions.
Self-destruction is what it's called.
And we are on the toward the tail end of our first segment. Music is on.
We'll be back. It's playing,
and we will be back. This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. We're back. Meow, meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Meow, meow.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Freedom at the Fiends. Corner of trash, not a vista.
I forgot all about that
earlier. And Trash View.
Trash View. Yeah.
And we're sorry. This is on every night. I'm sure you'll get it right here soon.
I'll have to stick it in the notes next time.
I think you were interrupted there.
It's okay. So we're back. And we were talking during the break about the wonderful libertarian debate that was a big deal because it was televised.
John Stossel, John Stossel, was the
put it together. So and Randy, you said you actually watched the entire thing.
I actually watched the entire thing.
I'm so sorry.
No, I thought it was interesting because they're appealing to someone in this thing. Stossel started out the introduction on the thing, pointing out that. The two likely candidates for the president, Democrat and Republican, were Trump and Clinton, and the two of them, despite the popularity that might get them the nomination, are also the most hated pair of presidential candidates ever to live. meaning their unfavorable ratings are so bad. Mm-hmm. And there are so many, hate is a better word. There are more people that hate both of those guys that it seems a great omen for a third party, specifically the Libertarian Party. And then they brought in the three. I don't know how they picked McAfee and Austin Peterson and who's the third guy?
Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson, of course.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
but I think they were polling the highest in some polls or something like that. Mm-hmm. But Stossel went and he let them all do a introductory statement in that. McAfee, he was great on his
introductory statement. Yeah, I thought he was too. Yeah,
he was just great. When he got done, I was thinking, wow, this guy. He's got it good, and he actually seems to understand it. Now, Austin Peterson, he often gave good bumper sticker sorts of sound bites, that fit in with the non-aggression principle and that. that fit in real well, but he didn't do it in a way that made you think that he believed in it. And then he said other things that made you sure that he didn't believe in it. But McAfee started out just great. Bring home the troops, stop interfering with other countries' business and stuff like that. But he would... But when interesting thing, he's a super tech guy. This is the guy that invented antivirus software going back, I don't know how far, to the 90s? I don't know.
Yeah, McAfee's 20, the original one was 20, 25 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Since the internet's been here, he's had this good antivirus software, and I think he sold it out and made a fortune with it. Mm-hmm. And great, you know, he knew how to make a buck, and he's... you know, he's certainly the oddest character of the whole bunch. What should that hurt you among libertarians? But when he gets to the areas that he's really an expert in, which is security, all of a sudden, this guy turns into a total war hawk. I mean, Cruz and some of these other guys couldn't touch him when it comes to his belligerence, when it comes to issues of cyber warfare and how the people that are just killing us are the Russians and the Chinese. And I'm thinking, you know, how are they hurting us? I mean, the Chinese, I mean, why do they even, Chinese even care about us? Because we're screwing around in the South China Sea and all around their areas. I mean, neither one of these countries should have any kind of a beef to pick with the United States if we were minding our own business. So I don't really get the threat. And of course, the Chinese, they're just way ahead of the rest of the world on disrespecting IP, which I can only applaud because I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
And it's becoming increasingly unenforceable, and the Chinese just figured that out ahead of everybody else. And if he's talking about, you know, waging war on these levels and that, I'm thinking, you're really not getting it, are you, guy? We want to stop the things that we're doing that make them think that they're our blood-sucking enemies and vice versa. They went after, Stossel went after each one of these people, too, by bringing up some sort of personal foible or odd thing about this person that would make people not like them, supposedly. Like,
how did he pick?
He picked McAfee and said, "Now you're wanted for questioning and a murder in Belize," and and made McAfee explain that. Of course, you know, he said I didn't kill anybody, and they haven't accused me of killing anybody. They just wanted to talk to me, and that only happened after they came to me, tried to extort money from me, and when I told them to go pound sand, then they started up with this this thing about, you know, me having something to do with this.
Well, you know,
neighbor being murdered.
I think that's believable. I mean, I read up on that too.
I do too.
I think that's absolutely believable. I mean, particularly, I mean, I think it's entirely plausible even in this country, but so much more so in a country like
Belize. I was buying that. And what reason, you know, would you have to think that the guy was a murderer? And then Austin Peterson, he went after him because he said, look.
Did he throw a dart at the police?
No, he said, look, man, he said, you're 12 years old. Literally.
He looks it, for sure.
And Austin Peterson, he drew himself up to his full height and said, I'm 35.
And so you say.
But I'm a big boy now.
Yeah.
He could pull his trousers down and show that he's wearing big boy pants.
Of all the things he went after him for, though, that's disappointing on Stossel's part.
That shows
favoritism to me, because there's so many things you could go after Austin for.
Just to say you look 12, I mean, surely, you know, it's like...
What about your constant rejection of the fundamental principle of the ideology you espouse?
Now, I forget what he went after Gary Johnson about. It might have been, I can't remember, might have been when he said, now you're a pretty big dope head. You know, you like to smoke a joint from time to time.
He
called
him a dope head?
No, that's not a quote.
Okay.
It's paraphrasing.
It's a paraphrasing, but he accused him of being a more than one-time marijuana smoker. And
okay.
Johnson did not deny it. He just pointed out that he hadn't had a drink in, I don't know, like forever or something like that.
Yeah.
And so get off my back. Oh, he also went after, who was the first guy? McAfee. He also went after McAfee because he had a DUI in Tennessee for something, some controlled substance. I don't remember what it was. I mean, it was some kind of prescription.
Oh, yeah, I read
like
about that.
Or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And McAfee just looked at him. He said, yeah, I did that. That was the worst mistake of my life. Next question. And I was thinking, you know, okay.
That was the worst mistake of your life, really?
Well, regardless, that's,
well,
still,
the worst...
that's actually a pretty good way to handle that, though.
Yeah.
He blew it right off. And, you know, you were immediately, if you were thinking at all, you're remembering, well, George W. Bush, he had a DWI, so yep. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Next question, yeah.
Yeah.
And one DWI, what's that? That's nothing. So I didn't think that any of that, you know, went that far. And McAfee, though, he got his credentials in as being what, the least politician-ish person or maybe least electable, which could be good this year because look at Trump. I mean, he's not exactly a
do I have
child.
To I mean really do I have to look at Trump?
Unfortunately,
I think you're trying to coerce me to look at Trump.
All right, I will stop that. So well, but anyway, the one thing about McAfee that I really, really was concerned about was how belligerent he got when it came to the technology of war and that. And I felt like he was just jumping in because that was his area.
Sure.
And he knew all about that stuff. So here's where I can be a super, super hawk. Now, you know, I mean, maybe he meant that by, you know, just purely defensive type things and that. But I don't know how much where he's going with, but it sure came off to me like when he had a chance to get into his area of expertise, he was, you know, Mr. Hawk. The only good thing about it is that I don't know if he, you know, if there was a way that he could kill anybody with ones and zeros directly.
Right.
So you know, I'm not quite as worried about it.
Yeah.
Austin Peterson, he was rough. He was really rough. He said that he wanted us to be as free as possible, and that he would only go to war if it was legal. So if Congress declared war, he was all in. Which is just more the same.
Exactly.
I'm thinking that Obama is probably more peaceful than this guy would be. I don't know. Now he says the right things on. He favors private charity over welfare and would cut federal entitlements. He's always talking about how he's gonna demand a balanced budget. And how's he gonna get to a balanced budget? Well, he's gonna make everybody trim their budget by 1%. And I'm thinking, yeah.
What?
And if the budget deficit was 4%. No, if the budget deficit was 1%, I guess then that would balance the budget.
But right.
Usually it runs somewhere between, what, 15 and 50%? I don't know.
Yes,
it's
somewhere.
yeah, it's bad. And he wouldn't begin to make cuts that would take care of it. He said as far as ISIS is concerned, something about how he would send... he would get veterans and get them together and send them overseas, and they would take care of ISIS for us. And wow,
veterans?
Yeah, veterans. Not, I'm sure not disabled ones. You know,
well,
you know, good veterans.
Good.
Able-bodied veterans.
Yeah. So and then one question they got to was the thing about. The Christian couple having to bake a wedding cake for the gay couple, okay?
Yeah.
You know, having a bakery and asking each one whether somebody should force them to do that. And I don't think McAfee, I don't remember what he said about that. Peterson said, no, they should have the right to conscience. Gary Johnson said, Yeah. They need to be forced. They need to be forced to sell because that's discrimination.
Whatever.
And we'll pick up on this when we get back.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
We're talking about kimchi during the break.
Delicious kimchi.
Kimchi.
Kimchi. I just fermented a batch of kimchi, just became ready this weekend, and I've been working on it. It'll take me all week long to work through it, so still looking forward to that.
I was just gonna say, I was just wondering if we should touch on a particular tweet that I sent out. If not, that's cool, but that I'd say that's more up to Jeremy.
That's fine.
Sure. Yeah. I remember that tweet.
Yeah, it was a tweet from Liberty Hangout, at Liberty Hangout on Twitter, and apparently, so Seeds of Liberty, and I'm sure everybody knows that Jeremy is a part of Seeds of Liberty, posted a meme with Austin Peterson saying, I guess on Twitter, that he got a question. Some say that you reject the NAP, which is the non-aggression principle.
Who got the question?
Tom Bagwell asked the question, and Austin Peterson answered. Peterson answered. He says, "I reject the NAP. Clear enough." And Liberty Hangout, their reply to that, or they posted both pictures, was showing where. And I don't think this is on Twitter. I'm not sure where this was, but So Austin Peterson clarified that and said he rejects it as an axiom, and that he says, "I will teach my kids not to hit people and not to take their stuff." And so I'm just kind of curious, like, why does he reject it as an axiom then? That would be my next question. You know, it's like, what about the non-aggression principle do you not agree with?
Well, the only thing that he could mean by that is that he rejects it when it's applied to, what, the state?
Well, I know some of his arguments in the past have been that because he makes a lot of assumptions about other people, always has, and he classifies people that espouse the NAP as having to follow like certain things that Rothbard laid out, like it's gospel or something, and mm-hmm. because people like Rothbard and subsequently Walter Block. Have the position on children, such as evictionism and all that stuff. He's against that, and he believes that anybody who espouses the NAP has to believe these things too.
No,
which exactly. So that is his that was his original rejection. And the problem with this is he did make that statement. I mean, that's obviously him because that's his verified account. And the problem with Liberty Hangout, I mean, that's a. It was a personal issue between the owner of Liberty Hangout and myself, but he's decided to make it public, so I don't really care anymore. I tried to walk away from it peacefully and just disassociate myself from him, but he wants to keep dragging me into this. He did clarify that to other, I think that was on a Facebook post or something he made. He did make that clarification, but as I saw on their post on Facebook and in a couple other places, there's a woman named Karen something. I don't remember her last name offhand, but she's a member apparently of one of the libertarian parties, possibly in Colorado. But she wrote she had some scathing responses to this, stating that, "Oh no, I don't care what he says now. I have him on an audio recording from December." With me asking him questions and him very clearly stating that he rejects this principle.
Yeah.
No matter what he says now. And my contention the entire time has been, okay, if you reject the fundamental principle of the ideology, I don't care if you want to call yourself a libertarian. You can't be a libertarian. That's like that's like saying you reject you wholeheartedly reject the Ten Commandments, but you want everybody to respect you as a Christian.
Right.
Like that, it's like insane. Like yeah. I'm sorry. Like I make the argument that any politician and therefore anybody in the Libertarian Party is not actually a libertarian because they're not right. they're violating the NAP by participating in a process of systematic oppression and coercion against your neighbor. But he takes it to a whole nother extreme because he flat out rejects the number one principle.
And on the basis of evictionism. Is that what you're saying? And to me, that's like saying that these people, I was going to say that, but not really meaning it the way we all mean it. Yeah, I caught myself. But these human beings named Murray Rothbard and Walter Block, you know, that a great many of us have read and respect a lot of what they say, that doesn't necessarily mean we agree with every single thing that they say as it applies to their version of the non-aggression principle. You know, so it's like, I mean, I don't have to follow every single little thing that they say just because they said it, you know, and he's treating it like exactly like.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Okay. I guess that's a good excuse.
Freedom Fiends.
I'll tell you what, living in Colorado, I mean, I love it here. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But I saw it was so weird. I saw a photograph that a friend of mine on Facebook posted of Key West, and it was of the water. And I immediately started smelling salt water and sand and like warmth. And it was just like, I had this craving to be there so badly. And yeah, I can't, I'm definitely going to have to make it to the ocean at some point this summer for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, for me, we were talking about during the break, and I live close to the ocean now, but I didn't grow up near one. Yeah. I grew up in the mountains, and I had a lake nearby that we went to and swam in.
Yeah.
But you know, I could do or do without it. It didn't really matter to me back then.
Right.
So when I moved here, I was already 17 years old when I moved up here. So it was like, okay, I didn't grow up with it, and then whenever I went. It's always ridiculously crowded.
Jones
Beach
live.
On the South Shore is ridiculous, and it's everybody comes from all over the surrounding area to the couple of beaches down there that are, you know, the supposedly the nicest ones, and it's just wall to wall people.
I have an idea. I think that for our next Fiend Fest Somalia, we should have it in the Conch Republic, which is also known as Key West.
Oh, you know what? I would love to do that, actually, because as sad as it is to say, as pretty much a lifelong Jimmy Buffett fan, I've actually never been to Key West,
but
I've always said I wanted to go. I will definitely do it for that.
They call themselves the Conch Republic because a lot of people that live there don't really see themselves as part of the U.S.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've heard that.
More power to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you know, before the break, we were talking about the arguments, I think, that are used to bash libertarians who actually believe in the non-aggression principle.
Right,
one of the lamest arguments is pulling out these arguments. First, you take Murray Rothbard, and he had a position, I think the most outrageous position that get people really hung up, is his position that, say you had a baby, that you could bring the baby home from the hospital, take him back to the nursery in the back room at your house, shut the door, and starve the kid to death.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could do anything about it. Now, I am not exaggerating. That was Murray Rothbard's position.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that
he wasn't advocating it. He would
be horrified at the idea. He thought it was immoral, but that no one could do it. And I don't think, and the same argument applied in one sense, I think, in a way, to abortion. But right. the thing that really gets people and just sucks their guts out is just this idea that you could, you know, put a baby in the back room and let them starve to death or dehydrate to death. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that under the non-aggression principle that is a valid argument. As great
yeah, I
as
agree.
Roth was, I think it's yeah. wrong. There's a principle in law that says when you place another person in a vulnerable position, mm-hmm. if through your actions a person right. cannot help themselves or save themselves from something, and they are in that position because mm-hmm. you put them there,
right.
and now you're responsible for them as if you had aggressed against them. Mm-hmm. And so you don't put the baby in the back room, and if I find out about it, I'll break down your door, feed the baby, and you will not have a cause of action against me for aggressing against you. And but I think your point, Jeremy, was that Austin Peterson, he drags out the most outrageous thing that Murray Rothbard ever said, leaving out the thousand things that he said that were
right.
perfectly good, and says, and this is what people who believe in the non-aggression principle believe. Well, most of us don't believe in that.
Yeah.
I don't even think that Walter Block believed in that, the starving of the baby. I think when the issue came to abortion, it was a little different argument.
Right, right.
The evictionism
yeah. Which
thing.
I disagree with that too, personally. So
well, actually, yeah. I do too. And the point yeah. there is that if you put this fetus in this dependent position,
you have invited this fetus into your
yeah,
body.
Yeah.
Well, like,
yeah. Yeah. And I realize that not everyone is going to agree with that, but
right.
the principle is there, and it's a valid libertarian argument. So mm-hmm. that if we ever get to lib pair, if you're a pro-choice person, the issue won't be settled because you'll be arguing, you know, with the mm-hmm. pro-life people who will all be arguing on the basis of the non-aggression principle. But those arguments just don't work, and so it isn't fair for someone who wants to attack the non-aggression principle to drag those out and call
right.
us, you know, knuckle-dragging yeah. apes because we would starve a baby.
Well, sure, because right. it's essentially a straw man.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just, and, you know, it's,
it really is.
And it's not like it's not, and you know, I've heard him try to defend this, but he never does a very good job because the problem is he's had the opportunity. It's not like he's not aware of this, and people like him. And I don't want to just single him out too, because there's plenty of people that make justifications for their actions based on this misinterpretation of the non-aggression principle.
Right.
But it's always, you know, Well, you know, this is what they think. It's like, no, people have tried to engage you multiple times. Like, my last interaction with him was a year ago, and it was during a long like back and forth on Facebook, where I kept, like, trying to reassert that, no, you're just pulling this out of nowhere. Like, this is, like, no, I don't believe this, and there's tons of other people in this thread and other threads telling you, none of us believe this. Why do you keep insisting that this is a steadfast thing, that you have to, that this is the nap, and this is why you reject it? No.
Yeah.
So he's because he's not
aware.
Playing to you, he's playing to the public.
Well, exactly. Right, so, right. Which to me means he's engaging in sophistry because he's aware of what he's doing, and he's purposely trying to deceive people.
Hmm.
And I don't appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, one other thing in that debate, I think we went into the market there, and we about the issue of forcing people to bake cakes, and I thought it was interesting. that only Gary Johnson said that he would force bakers to bake cakes. And Austin Peterson got one good thing in, he said, well, let's even just leave out cooking it for the, you know, making the cake for the gay couple. Let's have it two Jewish bakers having to bake a cake for the Nazis, you know?
Yeah.
And Gary Johnson said that's discrimination. That wouldn't be right. And I think I read something. Jeffrey Tucker wrote some article about this, the debate, and he seemed to be excusing Gary Johnson's position on it. He said Gary actually gave a decent, he called it a decent counterexample of why.
No,
hold on.
That.
Hold on. He gave a decent counterexample of why he would retain religious anti-discrimination law. And what Johnson said was that it would be wrong if you had a public utility that was permitted to discriminate. And it would be terrible because in the present environment, people would shut off power to a Muslim community or something. And, of course, the thing that's so crazy about that is that this whole thing about baking cakes for the gay wedding and that is talking about what government forces private parties to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the first problem with a public utility is that that's not a private party.
Exactly.
That's a quasi-governmental organization which has a public monopoly. And, of course, any libertarian, anyone who agrees with the non-aggression principle, would say, well, if there's one organization that as long as it's here, it cannot discriminate, it's the government. You know, well, I mean, the state should never be able to discriminate on any grounds at all. But that doesn't apply, you know, and so Gary Johnson jumped right into a public utility thing, which I said just totally mucked up the mix. Because it started mixing apples and oranges. And
right. And people have a really bad tendency of doing that, you know, comparing the free market to what the government does. And, I mean, it's completely different. Like you said, apples and oranges, you know. And like when people talk about free speech or when people talk about censorship, you know, when a private entity decides to, like, for instance, block someone, you know, on Facebook, a lot of people scream censorship about that. And it's like, no, it's not. You know, it's like this is kind of a right that I have on this particular page that I've you know, I'm kind of homesteading, I guess, if you will, from Facebook. And in a way, I mean, obviously, Facebook is not, you know, we don't own Facebook necessarily, but you know, I can pretty much say what I want to say on my page. You know, and if I don't want you commenting on it, then I can block you. That's not censorship.
Yeah, well, you know, it's go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just gonna say, you can call it that if you want, but it's so ridiculous, especially when it comes from people who supposedly are, you know, seeking liberty. When they scream censorship, anybody who talks about liberty and also talks about free speech, to me, I just shake my head because I'm like, that first of all, that was created by the state to apply to them. It's not. It was supposed to be so government cannot restrict your free speech. Right. It had nothing to do with, because, you know, it's the whole, you know, and people like to point to the, oh, well, they put restrictions on it, you know, because the common sense, you know, the fire in a crowded theater. It's like, no, people don't realize that it's just about property rights. That's all it is. Cause same thing with my living room, you know. And you can make arguments about Facebook not being yours or whatever, but in the virtual world, it's essentially your living room if you have a wall.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And if you make it public, that's fine, but you can also invite and disinvite whoever you choose.
Absolutely.
So, but people get hung up on these concepts that they say phrases that they've heard, but they've never actually investigated what they really mean,
right?
You know, and I was guilty of this for years. So I'm not saying this as like, you know, I'm better than you. No, it was only a couple of years ago I started putting all the pieces together. So I get it, but people are so, like I said, it's the liberty minded folks that still espouse this stuff that really get under my skin.
Yeah, I mean it's all a process, you know. We're all learning, and some are quicker than others at learning it. And when I say we're all learning, I think that the people that want to learn and are curious are the ones that learn. You know, there are so many people out there that just want to keep their heads stuck in the sand and they just don't care.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, because it's easier to not care.
Yeah.
And plus there's so many distractions out there. And, the state causes you to most people to be scattering too fast, you know, worried about too many other things, so.
Right. Breads and circuses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Now we're on air.
We'll work out the kinks one of these days.
Yeah.
When you maybe somewhere in the next 900 episodes. You're there.
The Wampus Cat. And so we're in our redemption in the third act segment.
And we're here. And before we redeem, I wanted to say another mean thing about Gary Johnson. No, I don't mean that. An objective thing. And one thing he talked about.
The truth hurts.
Everybody loves to, you know, beat on ISIS because they're horrible. You know, they cut people's heads off and stuff. And he wants to declare war on ISIS, but he made it sound like maybe he wanted a declaration of war on ISIS, but then Katie barred the door, right? So that happens. Another thing, not only will you have to bake your cake for Nazis, but also he's in favor of equal pay legislation. So that everybody has to be paid equal pay for equal work. And, you know, it just seems like he's got a few libertarian sound bites, and then there's no libertarian left.
He's a complete statist.
Oh, of course he is.
who wants to legalize pot? And why does he want to legalize pot? Because he likes liberty? Well, heck no, he's a pothead. So,
hey, that there's anything wrong with that.
Hey.
No. Yeah, but here's the thing. People that just want to legalize their pet vice.
No, I know.
That does not make you a libertarian, darn you.
Right. No, of course not. He was a governor for how long? From what I've seen, he pretty much rose up because he was the most electable. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, he does.
Because he was governor. Well, yeah, in Mexico.
But any libertarian party function in like any place I've ever been, that's pretty much, you know, that's what they're always looking for. You know, they're trying to find who they, you know, yeah, principles are great, but if we can make any headway, we need to find the electable person. So.
Yeah, if we can get somebody with an L behind their name in there, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So now Austin Peterson, the other questionable libertarian in there. I never know what to make of him, because if he talks for a little while, you could mistake him for a libertarian until he talks for a little longer, and then you can't mistake him for that.
If you could just stop him talking, just like in that first little bit.
So liberty for you.
And McAfee, I mean, the only guy that's kookier than him is Vermin Supreme, you know, who I love.
Yes,
I
mean, and who will provide free ponies, y'all.
Yes, yeah, but the only coercion, the only state coercion that he supports is to enforce toothbrushing. Yes, which is fine with me, because I brush my teeth, and so it's not going to land on me, so what do I care? But you know, and you know, I mentioned the thing earlier about the we're going to go to war, you know, in the cyber area, and that I don't know where, if he has time to sort this thing out. I think he may end up, you know, sounding fully libertarian before it's done, because I was listening to him months ago, even before he declared for the Libertarian Party, and I think he's been getting an education, and he learned super fast, because I think the guy came out of his mother's womb as a libertarian, really. and so it all, I mean, it's almost like when someone first explained what the words meant, he goes, oh, I think that's me. And that's great. I don't know that I was a natural born libertarian. I mean, I was a prosecutor for a long time, so
well,
something happened in between there.
I've posited for a while that everybody's born a libertarian or an anarchist, and we just kind of have that beaten out of us.
Yeah.
Done with love most of the time. Yes. You know, just through the indoctrination of the state, you know, of the government schools and all that stuff, and
That's true. Everybody's born wanting what they want when they want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Well, you know, and you say that, Randy, is interesting because, yeah, I mean, like, we're basically born animals, you know, and I do think that there is a certain amount of civilizing that needs to occur just to not be a, you know, a butthole when you grow up kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, the cult of patriotism, you know, it's just, it is pounded into us. I mean, I feel like it was pounded into me, not just by the schools, but also to some degree by my parents, especially my dad. My dad was very, very, you know, politically oriented and believed in the ideal of America. Just thought that the guy that was in office at the time, Nixon, was doing it all wrong, of course.
Ah, Nixon.
And
well, we're going to have to take this up on the next Freedom Fiends. Yeah. Because
oh, no.
I think we're running out of time.
I was going to squawk a little bit more.
Oh, I wish you would
have fun, guys.